Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
But right now, let's talk to Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. It is our big story today as we get ready for the New York Football Giants on Monday night. And Wes, it's always good to have you back on the show.
How you guys doing?
Oh, we're good, great. Man. Thank you so much. We've been talking a lot today about this Julio Jones red zone thing, and not from a negative standpoint, just from the standpoint of seeing what teams are doing against us has allowed Matt to find a lot of different guys in the end zone. Matt's having a great season, and I just want to get your perspective from up top when you're calling these games, what you witness and what you think about what's going on with Julio, who has over 700 yards already.
Well, I think he's still one of the best receivers in the National Football League. I think the no touchdown thing is, you know, it's kind of cannon fodder for production, but at the same time, it also shows you how talented other guys are too. I mean, I think from wherever you sit, you can see he's taken 1.5 or 2 on every snap. More than likely, it's 2 this year, I think. And going back and watching some of the games, I mean, he's got a guy almost from the jump, and then not long after that, he has another guy. So it's opened up, you know. In particular, I thought Calvin Ridley was the early beneficiary, and now I'm not so sure it's Austin Hooper. And I think it's going to continue to evolve like that. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised if Mohamed Sanu has a big game. And then there's going to be the one team, might be Washington in a couple weeks, you know, because of Norman or whoever the case might be, who thinks, well, you know what, we don't need to do that. And then that's the day that all of a sudden, you know, he's going to take the top off a couple times and people are going to go, well, now I know why they put two guys on him. But the red zone stuff, to your point, Carl, has been obviously very productive. They've done a nice job down there not only throwing the ball, but I think they've done a pretty good job running it too. And I think, you know, obviously now Tevin and Ito, it's going to be their show, the Tico and Ito, if you will. And we'll see what happens. But there's no question that area that was so much of a concern last year and obviously after week one has changed dynamically.
And as you said, as Wes Durham, Wes Durham joins us here. Him and Arch will have the call on Monday night, by the way, right here on 92.9 The Game. Austin Hooper, we were lamenting the fact he could not be a bigger, you know, factor in the red zone down the stretch last year, and now he is emerging as one of the best tight ends in the NFC.
Well, and the other thing too, Mike, and you guys probably noticed this on Sunday, they went to a lot of 2 and oftentimes 3 tight end packaging on Sunday against Tampa. And that's the second time we've seen it, and I expect we're going to see some more of it, to be honest, because as Coach Quinn said on Monday in our visit, they think there's a lot of versatility in that package. You know, right now the 3 tight end set only obviously has the 1 receiver, 2 tight ends you can go to 2, but you've got a guy like Paulson, and I really do believe, you know, whatever happened to Logan Paulson last year in San Francisco or in his latter years in D.C., I think we've gotten a different Logan Paulson here. We've gotten a guy who's a willing blocker, who's pretty strong in the edge game, to be honest with you. And then we've seen the 2 tight with the eye behind them, and they've thrown from that too. But I think Hoop is off to a great start. And thrilled for him. I know how hard he worked in the offseason. I was able to do an event about 2.5 weeks ago with both he and Matt. And they talked at length about, you know, getting up and going over to Pace Academy at 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning in the summertime. And, you know, Matt told the story. He said, hey, look, you know, the first time we got out there, the field was in really bad shape. And, you know, I made Hoop go up and down the field 3 or 4 times. And I thought, well, this will be it. He'll quit on me. And, you know, because he was out there on his own. And Matt said, you know, when he stuck with it, I knew he was serious about getting better just as I was. And it's made a big difference, obviously, in the way they think of one another this year, and I think that it's made a big difference in the team too.
The tidbit to that story, Wes, and he told me the same thing was Matt said because of the twins that he basically forced Hoop to go wherever he was, and Hoop was willing to do that. Yeah. To me, that's dedication, you know.
Well, and you know, with having been the father of young twins in my life, I can tell you that, you know, when you go, you go, because you don't have a lot of time. you know, it's kind of like the old guy in the bathroom. You know, I think the bottom line is Matt said one morning was at 7, another day was at 1, another day might be at 10, and Austin was committed to it. He was here all year, and I think that kind of shows you a little bit. You know, we open these broadcasts sometimes on Sunday talking about, you know, this is the week you find out really what the brotherhood thing means. And I think it even boils down to sometimes just quarterback, tight end, or, you know, running backs and tight ends, or running back and offensive line. I mean, I think we're going to see with this team now, by virtue of the injury situation, just how tight and connected they are, as Coach Quinn talks about.
It is Wes Durham here on Dukes and Bell as we talk Falcons. One of our concerns for Monday night is how do you control Saquon Barkley? And when I say that, I just simply mean tackling him, bringing him down to the ground. This is a number one concern for Mike and I heading into this game.
Well, I don't know. I thought Coach Quinn's comment on Monday was pretty interesting, that he watched tape of defensive guys against Penn State last year in the scouting process because he wanted to see how they tackled a really good guy, you know, a really talented guy as Barkley is. It's impressive, but you know what? Here's the other thing. Carl and Mike, they got a lot of stuff going on up there now. I mean, this is, you know, we've yet to walk into a bucket of drama like they've got. I mean, you know, the Pat Shurmur press conference following the game last Thursday night, that thing was awesome. I mean, did you hear me talk to him? Did I not say what I just said? Don't you know what? Okay, I mean, you know, when's the last time you saw something like that go down? So I think obviously Barkley's going to be a handful. But you got to remember the other guys they've got on this team. I think Evan Engram will probably try and go Monday night. You know, and then you get the OBJ show. I mean, that'll be something too. So, but the key is you got to take them out of their game. You got to take them out of rhythm. You got to make Eli uncomfortable. You know that Arch and I were doing the games our first year when he started his first game. His first career start was against Atlanta at Old Giant Stadium in 2004. And Arch and I were doing the game. It was funny when I was thinking about that the other day. And you just got to make him uncomfortable, because the more and more he gets disheveled, if you will, as my wife likes to say from time to time, I think his performance reflects that. And, you know, as Dave said Sunday during the game, their problems are a them problem. Atlanta's got a real opportunity Monday night to kind of square things up with the house a little bit and go to the bye feeling pretty good. And then, to be honest with you, you know, come back after the bye with an opportunity to maybe even things up.
It is Wes Durham, guys, joins us every week right here. It's nice to do that on hump day. Talk about the Falcons and the Giants. And that's the thing. What was the factoid we had, Carl, when you got Vic and Tack and Grady out there with Jack Crawford?
Correct.
That is the combination. Now, I don't know if we're going to see Grady out there this week.
You doing analytics, Mike?
No.
Are you involved in some analytics now?
You know how I feel about that. But I just want to – I like when Tack and Vic are next to each other, because it seems to get guys off the spot. You know, just trying to get some pass rush out of here, brother. Jameis had way too much time in that second half.
Sounded like a lot of analytics, Carl, didn't it?
Well, he brought up the number. I'm just reiterating it.
Yeah, I did bring this up. It was number
one. Well, I knew Mike didn't have any analytics, Carl.
Oh, I got analytics. Yeah, I can give you some analytics right now.
Yeah, you just gave me Craig Counsell. 5 pitches. I can't believe he's taking a guy out.
Yeah. Go ahead. Listen, we don't like this new baseball thing.
Probability is 87%. I'm going to hang up on it.
All right? We don't like this new baseball thing. What do you think, Wes?
About putting those guys together? Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
I'm all for it. I think their best front is when they're able to, you know, I think Crawford's really helped them because he's healthy. That's number one. Number two, if you don't think Deidre Sinnott is like Grady part two, then, you know, everybody's kind of kidding themselves. But I think, you know, Beasley, and there's no doubt that Tack has been really, really good, and he's got to stay healthy. That's the only concern I have at all about where Atlanta is defensively on their front, is their health. The linebacking thing is going to take care of itself. I tell you, a guy who I thought Sunday played well for him was Bruce Carter. I thought Bruce Carter helped him in a couple different ways. And you're talking about an 8-year guy who probably is on the backside of it.
Right.
But when you can get guys to step up, that's going to be the key in this deal. And, yeah, that front, it's good when they're all there and all ready to ride. And look, Crawford and Grady, absolutely. And look, the Beasley thing's going to happen, and McKinley's off to a great start because he's healthy. at least for the most part. I mean, but that's the key question for me moving forward is how healthy can you stay?
As Wes, one more thing just to wrap up. We were talking a lot about how the amazing job Matt has done, especially when you consider that the running game has really been the bare minimum. I mean, they had I think they had over 20 carries again last week against the Bucs, but we're not really running the ball effectively compared to what we have in years past.
Well, I think the term, you know, we get caught up on numbers sometimes, Mike, and I use a word every once in a while when I talk about college teams and the matchups there. You got to be able to run it enough, okay? And I don't know that enough 1 week is the same as enough is the next week. But in Atlanta's case, you just got to be able to run it enough and enough to make them account for it every snap. I mean, to think that whether it's Tevin Coleman or Ito Smith or whatever the case may be, just find a way to get everybody honest about what the scenario is. And when that happens, I think you're going to have a chance to win because Ryan is in there now. I mean, he's playing at an incredibly high level, and that's a good thing for the Falcons, obviously. But it's kind of what we've come to expect from him as well. And, you know, and he's off to a sensational start. I'm excited to see him Monday night because I think that these guys got a lot out of that win Sunday. I think momentum-wise and confidence-wise especially. I mean, others may feel differently, but I think it was important to validate kind of who you are at this particular point in the season. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. But they got a huge opportunity on Monday night.
Wes, it's always good to have you on. We appreciate the info. And have a great call on Monday. And thanks for jumping on with us, as always, Wes.
Anytime, guys. Happy to do it. You guys have a great rest of the week. Mike, good luck on that baseball deal, brother.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.